Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 1, is where we begin our fourth study in the book of Jeremiah. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Jeremiah 8, verse 1, at that time, says the Lord, they shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah, and the bones of its princes, and the bones of the priests, and the bones of the prophets, and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, out of their graves. They shall spread them before the sun and the moon, and all the host of heaven, which they have loved, and which they have served, and after which they have walked, which they have sought, and which they have worshipped. They shall not be gathered nor buried. They shall be like refuse on the face of the earth. Then death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of those who remain of this evil family, who remain in all the places where I have driven them, says the Lord of hosts. When judgment hits God's people, even the dead are going to be judged. The bones of those who worship the sun and the moon and the stars will be taken out of their graves, and they will lie and rot before the heavenly bodies that they worshiped. What a contrast this is. The Bible says that God will raise his people from the dead. And meanwhile, the only thing the heavenly bodies can do for those who worship them is watch them rot. Verse 4, moreover, you shall say to them, thus says the Lord, will they fall and not rise? Will one turn away and not return? Why then has this people slidden back, Jerusalem, in a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. I listened and heard, but they do not speak aright. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his own course as the horse rushes into the battle. Even the stork in the heavens knows her appointed times, and the turtle dove, the swift, and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people do not know the judgment of the Lord. When they realize they've made a mistake, most people try to correct it. If you're doing schoolwork, you're doing your homework and you realize you make a mistake, you erase it, or you start over or something. It's in your best interest. If a traveler takes the wrong road and they realize it, they turn back. Not Judah. Not God's people. They went wrong. God told them to turn back, but they wouldn't. They were indifferent to God. They didn't care. Verse 8. How can you say we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? Look, the false pen of the scribe certainly works falsehood. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. So what wisdom do they have? Therefore, I will give their wives to others, and their fields to those who will inherit them. Because from the least even to the greatest, everyone is given to covetousness. From the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace. when there is no peace? Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. Nor did they know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. In the time of their punishment, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. I will surely consume them, says the Lord. There shall be no grapes on the vine, no figs on the fig tree, and the leaf shall fade, and the things I have given them shall pass away from them. God's preachers were not doing their job. The people were spiritually dead and headed for hell, but the preachers didn't realize the seriousness of their problem. They were just as indifferent as the people. And for that, God will judge them all. 14. Why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves, and let us enter the fortified cities, and let us be silent there, for the Lord our God has put us to silence, and given us water of gall to drink, because we have sinned against the Lord. We looked for peace, but no good came, and for a time of health, and there was trouble. The snorting of his horses was heard from Dan. The whole land trembled at the sound of the neighing of his strong ones, for they have come and devoured the land and all that is in it, the city and those who dwell in it. For behold, I will send serpents among you, vipers, which cannot be charmed, and they shall bite you, says the Lord. When God's rod of punishment, the Babylonian Empire, when they attack, there's going to be panic in the land. The people will run, but they will know that they cannot outrun the wrath of God. They will know that even as they are trying, it's futile. 18. I would comfort myself in sorrow. My heart is faint in me, and this is Jeremiah talking. Listen, the voice, the cry of the daughter of my people from a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their carved images and with their foreign idols? When God's people were judged, they said, how could this happen? Why didn't our king, the Lord God, help us? Did God leave the country or something? God says, you've been judged because of your sin, not because I took off on you. One of the saddest verses in all of Scripture, verse 20. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. In other words, we push God too far. We had opportunities to avoid the terror of God's wrath, but we did not take advantage of them. Now it's too late. There's nothing we can do about it. 21. For the hurt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt. I am mourning. Astonishment has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people? Oh, that my head were waters, and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place for wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they are all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. If Jeremiah could have resigned from being God's prophet, he would have quit and gone far away. He preached his heart out, but no one listened. And now, because no one listened, he has to sit and watch them suffer. He hated it all. None of it was good. And he was right in the middle of it. And he was also right in the middle of God's will, so he wouldn't quit. 3. And like their bow, they have bent their tongues for lies. They are not valiant for the truth on the earth. for they proceed from evil to evil. And they do not know me, says the Lord. Everyone take heed to his neighbor, and do not trust in any brother. For every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanderers. Everyone will deceive his neighbor and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies and weary themselves to commit iniquity. Your habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, says the Lord. You know, when the fear of God left the people, the foundation of their society began to crumble. No one could be trusted, and no one cared about anyone else, and you're not going to last long as a nation when that's the case. And the first step is to lose your fear of God and not have preachers call you to repentance. 7. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will refine them and try them. For how shall I deal with the daughter of my people? Their tongue is an arrow shot out. It speaks deceit. One speaks peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in his heart he lies in wait. Shall I not punish them for these things? Says the Lord. Shall I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? God's punishment equals misery for sinners. It's not pleasant for anyone, including God. But God says, don't I have a right to punish these people who are doing such unspeakable things to one another? And the assumed answer is yes, of course. 10. I will take up a weeping and wailing for the mountains, and for the habitations of the wilderness, a lamentation, because they are burned up so that no one can pass through them. Nor can man hear the voice of the cattle. Both the birds of the heavens and the beast have fled. They are gone. I will make Jerusalem a heap of ruins and a den of jackals. I will make the cities of Judah desolate, without an inhabitant. Who is the wise man who may understand this? And who is he to whom the mouth of the Lord has spoken, that he may declare it? Why does the land perish and burn up like a wilderness so that no one can pass through? And the Lord said, because they have forsaken my law which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, nor walked according to it. But they have walked according to the imagination of their own heart, and after the Baals which their fathers taught them. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, this people, with wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink. I will scatter them also among the Gentiles, whom neither they nor their fathers have known. And I will send a sword after them until I have consumed them. In other words, God says, why do you think you have so many problems? Why is your land a waste land? You have refused to change. You have rebelled, and you have refused to change. That's why. 17. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider and call for the mourning women, that they may come, and send for skillful wailing women, that they may come. Let them make haste and take up a wailing for us, that our eyes may run with tears, and our eyelids gush with water. For a voice of wailing is heard from Zion. How we are plundered. We are greatly ashamed because we have forsaken the land, because we have been cast out of our dwellings. Yet hear the word of the Lord, O women, and let your ear receive the word of his mouth. Teach your daughters wailing, and everyone her neighbor a lamentation. For death has come through our windows, has entered our palaces to kill off the children, no longer to be outside, and the young men no longer on the streets. God calls for the professional mourners to come and weep at the funeral of the nation, because it's in big trouble. 22. Speak, thus says the Lord, even the carcasses of men shall fall as refuse on the open field, like cuttings after the harvester, and no one shall gather them. What a gruesome sight of God's wrath. The dead bodies of God's people will lay on the ground and rot like a crop that has been cut, but not taken off the field. 23. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. It may be good to have these things, but not to boast about having them. Number one, they're a gift from God. To the extent that we have any of them, they're a gift from God. And number two, they're not going to last. So you don't want to put your trust in them. 24. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. In other words, boast in God. God is the only reason that we are alive. And when things go well, God is the only reason that they go well. 25. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will punish all those who are circumcised with the uncircumcised. Egypt, Judah, Edom, and the people of Ammon, Moab, and all who are in the farthest corners, who dwell in the wilderness. For all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in heart. Judah placed her trust in the religious rite of circumcision instead of in a relationship with God. Well, God says, these other nations who do not serve me, these nations that I've listed here, they don't serve me, but they circumcise themselves also. And you know what? You're going to be punished, Israel, just like them. Circumcision. Religious rites mean absolutely nothing to God. They are such a poor, pathetic substitute for a relationship with God that he despises them when they are done to be a substitute for a right relationship with him, a relationship of obedience and submission. Next time, chapter 10. Until then, so long, everyone.